This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:13, what light rain is left should be gone by 8 o'clock or so. And then it's going to be chilly. Highs of 55. It's 55 right now. Temperatures fall throughout the day, and then it turns really windy afternoon. So it's going to be, boy, chilly and 50 and cloudy and windy and all that stuff. Lows tonight, 32 on the North Shore, 31 rather on the South Shore, and then maybe a little bit harder freeze on the North Shore. I'll get it out eventually. And then highs tomorrow of only 46, first big parade weekend, highs of 49, but lows on Friday night in the 40s. That means it's going to be chilly for parade time. Then a 40% chance for showers Saturday with highs of 56. And an 80% chance for showers on Sunday, highs of 53. But then that all depends on the timing of the showers, right? And then dry until Thursday when another chance for showers pops up. But we'll try to check in with a meteorologist and maybe Brooke Lazer see what the parade forecast is at some point this morning. Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, do you want your party to become more conservative, more liberal, more moderate, or stay like it is? There's a new Gallup report out on how Americans answered that question. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, I was watching, I remember as a kid reading Sunrise at Campobello, the play about Franklin Roosevelt, and it just so happened that I was recovering from a little minor surgical thing yesterday, and there was a quote in there that he quoted the character of Franklin Roosevelt. I don't know if it's a true quote or not, from Woodrow Wilson. Wilson said that, "I often think of something Woodrow Wilson said to me. It is only once in a generation that people can be lifted above material things. That is why conservative government is in the saddle for two-thirds of the time." Now, I don't know if Woodrow Wilson really said that or not, or if they took some license with the play, but it seemed kind of accurate to me. Thoughts before we get into the subject matter here?
So I don't know the quote, but my reaction to that is actually rather similar to my reaction to a lot of these questions, which is define conservative. Mm-hmm. Because it's not clear what conservative means in that quote. It's not clear what conservative would have meant at that time. The label conservative has changed over time, and it's not really clear what any given survey respondent thinks when prompted with the word conservative, because the word conservative, just like the word liberal, can mean a lot of different things. And what a lot of people have in their heads for these terms, liberal and conservative, is what we can sometimes just call a floating abstraction that's relatively poorly understood. And if we don't define our terms, we prompt survey respondents with these words, and their responses need to be understood in the context of survey respondents' limited understanding of the words.
You know what? You ought to be a political scientist, because that was very well said. When I hear conservative, and at least when I saw this, and I always try to think of, is everything old new again, right? Are we really charting new ground or not? And I always thought of conservative, at least, and maybe it's because of my own viewpoints, as Conservative means business first from the top down. Government gets out of the way of business. And then the nation of this, the business of this nation, maybe Franklin Roosevelt said this or not, I don't know who said it, but the nation, the business of this nation is business. Then from there, the economy grows, people prosper, etc. But when I hear liberal, I think the other way around, that it's, well, no, the government starts handing out money to help people, and then from there, the economy is stimulated. Now, that might be more of an economic outview than a political outlook on this, but at some point, conservatism to me has morphed into telling people what they can do and can't do socially with their lives. Am I wrong here or not?
Well, to some degree. So, for example, one of the ways that we will sometimes describe the ideological division is we'll talk about social intervention, non-intervention, and economic intervention, non-intervention. So, with respect to social liberalism and social conservatism tends to have more intervention. Social liberalism tends to have more non-intervention. But economic conservatism tends to have more non-intervention. Economic liberalism tends to have more intervention. So what we describe as conservatism more generally is economic non-intervention, social intervention, and
wait,
liberalism.
Slow down a little bit. What we describe as conservatism, you were saying, is?
Yeah, so conservatism is social intervention, but economic non-intervention.
Really?
What we describe as liberalism is economic intervention, but social non-intervention. So the ideological division is where you want the government to intervene. To be a liberal is, in the modern world and in the United States, is to want the government to intervene in the economic realm, but not the social realm. To be a conservative in modern America is to want the government to intervene in the social realm, but not the economic realm. And that's kind of the division, or at least this has been, and it's been getting more complicated in the last few years. As the Democratic Party has been changing the last few years, and Republican Party has been changing the last few years. So, for example, you've seen more advocacy for economic intervention under Donald Trump and his preferences. The Democratic Party has been changing a bit, but that's generally been how we describe the ideological division for the last couple of decades.
Let me ask the audience at 504-260-1870. You all describe a conservative for me and describe a liberal, how you view that. I guess I would be more libertarian because I always thought as a conservative, and that's what I thought I was for a while, Justin, that I just wanted the government to get out of the way of business. I wanted the government to fix roads and bridges and collect taxes that they have to, not overtax anybody, spend the money responsibly, but stay the hell out of people's lives. Don't tell me who to marry, what to do, where to go, how to do this or that. Just do what governments do. And then it seems as though, and I don't know if there was a tipping point or not, where it changed to now conservatives want government involved in the social lives of people, and I never did understand how that came to be, but maybe you can explain it to me. And we'll talk about the Gallup poll as well when we come back. Justin Buechler, our guest, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University. And I'll also ask you that as well, the audience at 504-260-1870. Do you want the government involved in your personal life? What you can do, what you can't do, etc. 620 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to friend Justin Buechler, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University. New Gallup study out says that Americans, Republicans and Democrats, do they want their party to become more conservative, more liberal, more moderate, or stay like it is? Professor, what did this Gallup survey show?
So it showed a couple of things. There are two distinctions, really. There's a difference between how Democrats and Republicans responded to what kind of change they want in their party, and there's a difference between their responses from 2021 and 2025. So the first big difference is that from 2021 to 2025, Democratic respondents seem to want their party to become much more moderate. The other interesting difference is that Republicans are much more interested in maintaining the level of conservatism within their party. So as we were talking a moment ago, the first basic point to keep in mind is that it's not necessarily clear what any given respondent thinks when prompted with the word liberal or conservative. So when I look at these kinds of surveys, I see the basic obvious point that when you examine the Democratic respondents in 2021, they just won a presidential election, whereas in 2025 they just lost. But a lot of them really expected to win. They were surprised that they lost. So in 2021, 34% wanted the party to become more moderate, but in 2025, that shot up to 45%. So plurality want their party to become more moderate. So it looks much more like just a response to a surprise loss. Then we look over at the Republicans, and we've gone from 34% in 2021 saying they wanted the party to stay the same, going up to 43%. And what's happened is, well, they just won. So they're pretty satisfied with the party. So I would be nervous reading too much of a policy interpretation into these results, rather than just observing that in 2021, the Democrats had just won a presidential election, and in 2025, the Republicans just won, and you've got survey respondents trying to figure out how to address a presidential election result.
You know, what I'm hearing here as you say that, and back in the day, you know, we used to try to do topics where we'd say, okay, give me your favorite crime movie. And people have a hard time thinking about it. If you give them a choice, it's different if you pick A, B, or C, but just come up with one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Off the top of their head is hard. And I just wonder how hard it would be for Republicans or Democrats to really quantify what it is that they think is a Republican, is a conservative, or a liberal. You made a good point with that, because maybe it's kind of like, what is it, the Supreme Court's definition of pornography, that they don't can't describe it, but they know it when they see it?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, that was Potter Stewart, but somebody could probably fact check me on that. I may be getting that wrong.
Well, it's not Jeopardy. Yeah. It's not Jeopardy. You know, there's nothing wrong, right, Professor. You're good. No, but right, seriously, fine. Is that kind of what it is?
I mean, to some degree, but I think it's even more vague than that, because for any given survey respondent, the words liberal, moderate, and conservative have kind of a vague orientation, and to some degree, they're more affective than specific. As I said, I think what's happening is that in 2025, the Democrats just lost an election that they expected to win. So they kind of want some kind of a corrective mechanism. But I don't think any of them can either define it or even really identify it, because in the definition of pornography, there is a claim that you can identify it when you see it. With definitions of ideology, I'm not even sure that people can necessarily identify it when they see it.
And then factor in all of that, ideology be damned, we just want to win and the other guy to lose. Thank you, Professor.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time. Sure. Have a good day. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science, Case Western Reserve University. Very interesting conversation. We have another one with Dane Cialino when we come back about Airbnbs in Orleans Parish. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7. The rain is supposed to be finished with by 7 o'clock. Their lights have gone off of the Crescent City connection, and I'm having a hard time telling if it's still raining outside or if it's just because the lights are out. Anyway, the rain will be gone soon. Then the temperatures fall throughout the day. Hard freeze across the North Shore Thursday morning, tomorrow night, Friday morning. Not so much on the South Shore, but it is going to be cold. Highs today of 58, 46 tomorrow and breezy, so it's going to feel colder than that. 48 on Friday, and then by the time you get to the parades on Friday night, it's really going to be chilly. Saturday, 30% chance for showers, highs of 58. And now they're saying Sunday a 20% chance for rain. So we'll try to check in with Brooke Laser, get the latest on that. Dane Cialino joins us now, professor of law at Loyola, to talk about some Airbnb business. How you doing, Dane?
I'm doing fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. Have you ever seen the movie The Paper Chase?
I have, a long time ago.
It was on Turner Classic Movies the other day, and I watched it, and I just thought of you as John Houseman walking into a classroom with your little seating chart and calling on people to state the facts of the case and then just eviscerating them for getting them wrong. Is that the way?
Exactly. Giving them a dime to call their parents and tell them they're not going to be a lawyer.
Wow. Do you do that or not?
I don't know what a dime gets you these days, though, Tommy.
You come in with a skull full of mush, and if you survive, you leave thinking like a lawyer. Let's talk about this Airbnb stuff. I'm trying to understand it, Dane, but I don't know. I really don't. Tell me what's happening.
Yeah, it's a continuing saga between Airbnb and the city. The city wants to regulate Airbnb, and Airbnb wants fewer regulations. You may recall 2 or 3 years ago, Airbnb successfully sued the city because it had imposed regulations on Airbnb operators that essentially discriminated against out-of-state and out-of-city Airbnb operators.
Was that based on a tax exemption or a tax, homestead exemption or not, Dane?
Well, it required that the owners be local. I don't recall whether it was a connection to the homestead exemption or not.
I could be making it up, so don't go by
that. Yeah, but it essentially required the owners to be local, and that violated the Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution, and it was struck down. The city went back to the drawing board, and what they came up with was essentially a regulation that requires Airbnb to police the legality of its posters' offerings to make sure that anybody who is offering a property on Airbnb has a valid license from the city of New Orleans to do so. We all know that there are lots and lots of unlawful Airbnbs across the city. There are people who are posting with fake licenses or expired licenses, and the city is trying to get Airbnb through its regulations to essentially cross-check the operators with the city's list of licensees. And that's what Airbnb doesn't like.
When we say Airbnb, are we using that as a catch-all? Are we using that as kind of like Scott Towel for paper towels? Or is that a specific company? And I'm not trying to sound ignorant on this, but I'm a hotel guy. My kid always books Airbnbs, and I've never been happy, I got to tell you. So
yeah, I guess the proper term is STR for short-term rental, okay, because there are other VRBO, of course, is the other large operator in that space. But it's the platforms that they're trying to regulate and the operators of the Airbnb properties. And that's who sued, just Airbnb as a platform and some operators. This time, they're complaining that they're essentially being forced into enforcing the city's laws when the city should be enforcing its laws. They are also complaining, at least in another lawsuit, about having to the requirement that the operators be on premises. So there's a lot of litigation going on, but I'll tell you, you know, what the city has done most recently by requiring essentially cross-checking posters with licensees is what other cities have done, including New York and San Francisco, and they have done that and have settled some lawsuits and are able to force Airbnb to do that. So I think actually Airbnb and these operators have the weaker argument here. The city does have the ability to regulate these businesses, and I don't think there's anything terribly unusual about requiring the operators to cross-check the requiring Airbnb to cross-check the licensees and operators. Uber does it. Uber makes sure that all of its operators have valid driver's licenses and insurance. We require bars to card people when they come in to make sure that they have they're old enough to buy alcohol. This is kind of a variation on that, I would think, and it doesn't seem to be an unreasonable restriction on commerce and something that there is a rational basis for.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. It seems as though, if I'm understanding this right, the same thing that New York's doing, that San Francisco's doing, and I don't know where that in terms of precedent or if they have different cases or who adjudicates all of this. We'll find out when we come back. If y'all have any questions about Airbnb or enforcement or whatever we're talking about here, 504-260-1870. Again, I'm a hotel guy, so I have to recuse myself from this. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, 651, 9 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 657 now, 3 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our good friend Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about Airbnb bringing another lawsuit against the city over making sure that the people that are on their platform have current licenses. Is that accurate, Dane?
That's exactly right.
All right, so is this any different than other cities are doing? And is this a state law that we're talking about? Because you mentioned Commerce Clause earlier. That's federal. So where? How does all of this play out legally?
Yeah, these are municipal regulations by the city, not state laws. But, of course, municipal regulations have to comply with the United States Constitution. And if they don't, under the supremacy rule, then they will be invalidated. That's what happened when the city required the owners and operators to be residents. That violated the Commerce Clause of the federal Constitution because it essentially put up a barrier to out-of-staters coming in to do business. These new regulations, however, are essentially geography neutral. They're essentially just aimed at forcing the platforms, Airbnb, VRBO, to cross-check the operators with the licensees in the city's database, which, given technology today, really shouldn't be a terribly difficult task for these platforms to do. I think you can go online and see a map and a list of operators that have licenses on the city's website. So it seems to me that, you know, the city does have the ability to regulate in this area. The regulations have to be rationally based to some legitimate government concern, and I think these regulations will probably, at the end of the day, pass constitutional muster.
I'm no Dane Cialino, but this would appear to me as though they're just trying to tie the city up in court and play for time. Accurate or not?
Could be.
All right, thank you, Dane. Appreciate it. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Brooke Laser, meteorologist at Louisiana, WWL, Channel 4, whatever it is, WWL, Louisiana. I think that's what it is this week. We'll talk to her, get the parade forecast, and talk about freezing weather. Then we're going to talk to Tyler Bridges, staff writer for the Times-Picayune. Governor Landry's kind of gone about reshaping the Louisiana Supreme Court. We'll talk about the politics behind that. And we're going to talk with Richard Nelson, Louisiana Secretary of Revenue, about Louisianians voting on a proposed tax overhaul next month. Kind of complicated stuff, but we'll get through it. Stay with me. Tommy Tucker, WWL.